This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Art music is a vast, complex and dynamic genre filled with beauty, joy, strangeness and wonderment. And you'll find all of it here, in the joy of classical music. Kia ora koutou, I'm Andrew Johnstone, and welcome to episode 160 of The Joy of Classical Music and an Hour of Nothing but Rachmaninoff. We opened with Dame Kitty Tikhanova performing vocalized one of Sergei Rachmaninoff's most beloved works. The final piece from 1915's 14 Romances, it is sung entirely on a single vowel and is so popular that it has been transcribed for almost every instrument. This week's featured composition is his Piano Concerto No. 2. As for the rest, it's a mix of interesting works from across the course of his first 25 years as a composer. Born into the Russian aristocracy on the 1st of April 1873, Rachmaninoff started his formal piano tuition at the age of 4 and graduated from the Moscow Conservatory in 1892 at the age of 19. The most popular living composer-pianist of his era, his lush romantic music was embraced by concertgoers but often dismissed by critics and academics as old school. The 1954 edition of the Grove Dictionary of Music and Musicians said his popular appeal was based on uncomfortable emotionalism and that his works lacked structural innovation. They predicted that he would soon be forgotten. From 1942, here's a recording of the man himself playing his own piano transcription of Lilacs, an art song from 1902. A setting of Ekaterina Bekatova's poem of the same name, Lilacs explores the elusive nature of human happiness. Here's the Swedish tenor Jose Borling and the Stockholm Concert Society Orchestra.
Morning skies are aglow, while the lilac trees blow. Ain't
Sheet Music, Piano Rolls, 78s, LPs. Rachmaninoff answered his detractors by outselling them, and among his enduring hits is Prelude in C-sharp minor, the second piece from Five Fantasy Pieces, a collection of piano works composed between 1892 and 1893. During a visit to Disney Studios in 1942, Rachmaninoff was given a private screening of a 1929 Mickey Mouse film called The Opry House. In it, Mickey Mouse plays Prelude in C-sharp minor, and of the performance, Rachmaninoff said, "I have heard my inescapable piece done marvellously by some of the best pianists and murdered cruelly by amateurs, but never was I more stirred than by the performance of the great Maestro Mouse." But we're not going to hear it. Instead, it's the Huberman Piano Trio with Elegy, the work that opens Five Fantasy Pieces. Another hit from 1892 was Do Not Sing, My Fair Maiden. Based on Alexander Pushkin's poem of the same name, it examines the painful nostalgia of lost love. Here's soprano Elizabeth Soderstrom and pianist Vladimir Askenazy.
Thank you.
During the chaos of the 1917 revolution, Rachmaninoff received an invitation to tour Sweden. Given that things weren't going well for the aristocracy, he took the opportunity to flee with his wife, daughters, two suitcases, and none of their substantial wealth. Composed while living in New York, 1926 work Three Russian Songs is a choral arrangement of three traditional Russian folk songs, Across the River, Avanka, and My Cheeks So White, So Rosy. A nostalgic paean to his homeland, it is one of several works that speak to his enduring homesickness. From the 1968 RCA Red Band recording, this is the New Philharmonia Orchestra, baritone John Shaw, and the Cathedral Choir of St. Ambrose.
Yeah.
Leipzig's Songs for Soprano was written in 1916, the year before he fled Russia, and A.O., the title of the sixth song, refers to a traditional location call used by people living and working in forested areas. Based on Constantine Balmont's symbolist poem of the same name, A.O. reminds us of the importance of connection in a world prone to cold indifference. From their 2006 album, Clearings in the Sky, here's soprano Heidi Grant Murphy and pianist Kevin Murphy. Rachmaninoff's first symphony premiered in March 1897, and it didn't go well. Critic Cesar Cui said, "If there were a conservatory in hell, and if one of its talented students were to compose a program symphony based on the story of the Ten Plagues of Egypt, and if he were to compose a symphony like Mr. Rachmaninoff's, then he would have fulfilled his task brilliantly, and all of hell's inhabitants would delight." The failure of his first symphony was crushing, and after falling into a deep depression, he stopped composing. 3 years on, and desperate, he agreed to daily hypnotherapy sessions. "You will begin to write your concerto. It will be of excellent quality." And it was. Dedicated to his hypnotherapist, Dr. Dahl, Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2 was a sensation that set him on the road to superstardom. Next week, it's an episode of Outsider Music. Until then, here's a 1972 recording of Vladimir Ashkenazy and the London Symphony Orchestra conducted by Andre Previn.
Thank you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.